You ever heard of this? It's called iDosing. And websites are luring kids with free downloads of so-called digital drugs, which are audio files designed to induce drug-like effects.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
It's metaphysical. And the only thing that most of us know about metaphysics is the question, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? And the funny thing about metaphysics is that the most quoted person is an 18th century German philosopher named Dr. Kant. And what's so funny about that is that there's people in our community who practice metaphysics without knowing it, and still their favorite word is Kant. And they have a similar question. Namely, if a man has a child and he doesn't do anything to help support it, does it really exist? And he can't see that you can't be a man if you don't face your responsibilities. Ain't no justification for not taking care of your children, no matter how you feel about the mother talking about that bitch. But if this ain't bitch but hoes and tricks, and all you do is hoe and trick, then what does that make you? See, I ain't got no deadbeat friends, because I know a man who got his own child's back and never have my back in the end. Besides, what makes him think that he could stand in the same room with men? Why face your fears? Stay home, play PlayStation, drink beers. I hope you choke on 40 ounces of your children's tears. You think this is happy that your baby's mom's got a new man to help pay for your kids? Name one thing more important to do with your money than take care of your child. But instead, you'd rather play predator and take some prospect out, knowing your baby's mom should just come up behind with a baseball bat, and as soon as you lean back, just crack the and steak out your mouth. You're a child in a man's body. First loser want to buy a round of drinks at the party. Feeling generous, are we? And what you should be feeling is sorry. And it doesn't even occur that now you're forcing your mother to watch you do the same thing to another woman that your father did to her. But I know you can't afford child support. Where a real man would rather work four jobs and see his children starve, you just lay around talking about what you can't handle. But then again, for you, I guess it's good that your children don't metaphysically exist, because that way you can justify not being a man, can't you?
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Fingertip shopping will be one of the many homemaker's conveniences. This video console will be channeled into the store of her choice. There, a camera will scan a display of wares which she will select by push button. Another part of this console is a household monitor screen, which maintains a watch on critical areas in the house, swimming pool, or yard. What the wife selects on her console will be paid for by the husband at his counterpart console. All bills and transactions will be carried out electronically. A central bank computer will debit the family's account the amount of purchases and credit the department store, for example, informing the family's home computer at the same time. Father, at the touch of a button, receives an instantaneous printed copy of his budget, the amount of taxes he owes, the payments left on the car, and so forth. All documents and household records are available on the video screen for immediate reference. Also at his disposal is an electronic correspondence machine, or home post office, which allows for instant written communication between individuals anywhere in the world. To maintain these and hundreds of complex electronic circuits, a monitor checks all circuits every few seconds, inserts a backup circuit if and when trouble develops, and alerts the communal service agency for replacement.
Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news.
This is the news. A former New York City fireman today told Senate crime investigators he once handed former Mayor O'Dwyer $10,000 in cash for campaign purposes. He once contributed $3,500 for Governor Dewey's 1948 presidential primary in Oregon. Ambassador O'Dwyer, who testified before the Senate committee yesterday, denied any such deal with the firemen. Governor Dewey's secretary says the governor never heard of the firemen's contribution made through a New York Republican leader until this year. For the past 10 days, the air around the federal courthouse here in New York has been filled with chickens trying to come home to roost. Most prudent men will probably reserve judgment until the committee has made its report and until the courts have dealt with various indictments for perjury and contempt which are certain to follow. In some areas, the confusion has merely been increased. I don't know whether you believe Ambassador O'Dwyer's story that he never received a campaign contribution from John P. Crane, the head of the Uniformed Firemen's Association, or whether you believe Crane's story that he gave this money to O'Dwyer, that he gave another $55,000 for the goodwill of James Moran, a former deputy fire commissioner, another $3,500 to local Republican leader Cruz for use in the Dewey campaign, another $4,000 for the state Democratic committee, and so on. In the major discrepancy, the conflicting testimony of the ambassador and the former fireman, as committee counsel Rudolph Halley said today, someone is lying. Here is Mr. Halley questioning Mr. O'Dwyer yesterday.
Do you know John P. Crane?
I do.
Did he, during the year 1949, ever visit you at the Gracie Mansion?
Don't recall that.
Is it possible that he might have?
Possible.
But you have no definite recollection.
That's right.
Could he have visited you more than once there?
Committees came there all the time.
Did he ever come alone?
I never recall him coming alone.
Would you say that it might be possible that he did come there alone?
I'd say that it was not likely that he came alone.
Do you know whether Mr. Crane ever made any campaign contributions?
I don't know.
Did he ever make any to or through you?
He did not.
Now here is Mr. Crane today. He said he met Mr. O'Dwyer, then mayor, on the steps of the city hall.
I told him I wanted to see him. He said, drop up the mansion. I can't tell you the date, but it was a couple of days later.
And you went up to the Gracie Mansion?
That's right.
And you saw Mayor O'Dwyer?
Yes, sir.
Were you alone with him?
Yes, sir.
Where did you see him?
On the porch of Gracie Mansion.
And will you tell the committee what transpired?
I had promised him the support of the firemen, and I offered him some evidence of that support on the occasion in the form of $10,000.
And was that in cash?
That was in cash.
What did the mayor say?
He thanked me. That was about all.
How long were you there?
Not more than 10 minutes.
It's apparent that someone is not telling the truth. The House Un-American Activities Committee today started its investigation into communism in Hollywood. Actor Howard Da Silva and actress Gail Sondergaard refused to tell the committee if they have ever been communists. Both said that to answer this might tend to incriminate them. But actor Larry Parks, star of the Jolson story, told the committee he had been a communist from 1941 to 1945 when he left the party. Mr. Parks, expressing his full love and loyalty to America, begged the committee not to ask him, as he put it, to crawl in the mud to be an informer. He said if the committee forces him to tell the names of actors and actresses he knew in the party, it would not be sportsmanlike, would not be American justice, would make it almost impossible for any person to appear before the committee and tell the truth.
Nick, could we try something more modern?
Like what?
This one is for the boys with the booming system. Top down AC with the cooling system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up. Got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal. He pop bottles and he got the right kind of bill. He cool, he dope, he drink a lot of coke. He always in the air, but he never fly coach. He is still up on a trip, captain of the ship. When he make a drip, kiss him on the lip. That's the kind of dude I was looking for. And yes, you get slapped if you're looking, yo. I said, excuse me, you're a heck of a guy. I mean, my, like Pelican Fly. I mean, you're so shy and I'm loving your new tie. You're like slicker than that guy with a thing on his eye. Ugh. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Amy Renee. I'm Mac the dudes up. Back coops up.
Boy, you got my heartbeat running away. Beating like a drum and it's coming your way. Can't you hear?
boom, 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 boom. Can't you hear that boom, ba dum, boom, boom, ba dum, boom, baby? Super bass, boom, ba dum, boom, boom, ba dum, boom, baby. Super bass.
What is this show?
We begin our story at the end of our interview with UWGB geologist Steve Dutch. I ask if there's anything else he'd like to add.
Not really. I've run out of ways to say I don't know.
That, in essence, is what the experts say they know.
I'm as confused, as intrigued as anybody is about what's going on exactly.
Harold Tobin is even consulting with city leaders in Clintonville.
There's some events we see on that seismic instrument. We don't really know what they are. They might be completely a coincidence at this point.
They seem to have ruled out what they don't think it is.
Well, the warm weather has occurred over all of northeast Wisconsin, and we don't have reports of underground rumbling or shaking in any other parts of the state.
A checklist of options they would usually turn to.
What we're trying to do is just keep taking things off the list. So first, obviously, you're concerned about explosion with gas. So what we did was take the entire quadrant, walk with police fire escorts, and had utility employees with gas monitors that were able to drop those down into the manholes to see if there was any sort of gas detected. Absolutely nothing was detected elevated.
The interesting thing is the U.S. Geological Survey is not seeing anything. Their most recent earthquake plots, the closest events, are tiny events in southeast Missouri and West Virginia, and they're 1,000 miles away. And they can pick up things equivalent to a few sticks of dynamite.
So we end this story where we started, no less confident in answers, and maybe a bit more confused.
This one is for the boys and the polos, entrepreneur jiggers and the mogos. Think about with the crew, he gets solo, but I think I like him better when he dolo. And I think I like him better with the fitted cap on. He ain't even gotta try to put the mat on. He just gotta give me that look. When they give me that look, then the party's going off, off, off. Excuse me, you're a heck of a guy. I mean, written by my with American guys. I mean, sorry, sickening eyes. I can tell that you're in touch with your feminine side. Yes, I did, yes, I did. Somebody please tell him who the F I is. I am Amy Renee, I'm Mac the dudes up, Chuck the deuce up. Boy, you got my heartbeat running away, beating like a drum and it's coming your way. Can't you hear that boom ba dum boom boom ba dum boom baby? Super bass, boom ba dum boom boom ba dum boom baby. Super bass, boom 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 boom. Can't you hear that boom ba dum boom boom ba dum boom baby? Super bass, boom ba dum boom boom ba dum boom baby. Super bass.
Neighbors in Clintonville say they're scared to go to sleep tonight after a series of unexplained explosions. The blasts and tremors sent people out into the street in their pajamas overnight. Now they fear it could happen again. Heather Burke is in the Wapaka County town tonight with more on this mystery.
People in this community won't stop coming up to us tonight, telling us that they're still hearing this loud boom tonight, and then they feel the ground shake just a little bit. Now, this boom isn't coming up from the sky, but rather it's coming from down below.
Think we're going to be able to get some sleep tonight?
There's a mystery in Clintonville.
What did you hear?
Verda Schultz wants to solve it.
It sounded like somebody was dropping bombs. House vibrated, the windows rattled, and it even shook the bed.
It came from down below.
That big bang.
Dennis Padilla heard it too.
Everybody was scared last night. Even my neighbors, they come running out of the house, they packed up and left.
Around 9:30 Sunday night, neighbors heard the strange sound. Hours later, 911 was hit with dozens of calls.
Continuing to be a mystery, but our question really will be as the temperatures drop, if anything changes again.
Clintonville City Administrator Lisa Cuss says the city is working with an engineering firm to monitor it. At this point, they only know what it can't be.
What we know from geologists down at UW-Madison is that this is clearly not consistent with earthquake activity.
I need you in my life for me to stay. No, 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 you'll stay, yeah. No, 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 go away. Hey, boy, you got my heart beating, running away. Beating like a drum and it's coming your way. Can't you hear that boom, ba dum boom, ba boom, ba boom, boom bass? Can't you hear that boom, ba dum boom, boom, ba dum boom bass? Hey, 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 ooh, boy, you got my heartbeat running away. Beating like a drum and it's coming your way. Can't you hear that boom, ba dum boom, boom, ba dum boom, baby? Super bass, boom, ba dum boom, boom,
It has happened again. An early morning wake-up call for people in Waupaca County town of Clintonville. Many rattled from their sleep around 5 a.m. this morning, and some of them even calling 911.
We have some weird thing going on, and our whole house is shaking.
It is the third straight night. Something sounding like thunder, sonic boom, some say fireworks, is shaking this tiny town. And tonight, town meeting's being held to try to figure it all out. Video journalist Brian Miller live in Clintonville with our big story at 5. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Now, that public meeting set to happen in just about an hour here at Clintonville High School. Those 911 calls, they've been pouring in steadily all week, about 120 on the first night, and they continued all the way up through this morning as more people reported the mysterious booming and shaking here in Clintonville.
Man, it's shaking the whole house. Like, somebody's banging like car doors, or I don't know what the heck actually it would be, to tell you the truth.
Okay, like fireworks, or not? Could it be that?
Something like that, maybe. I don't know.
That's just one of more than 550 911 calls reporting a strange boom that no one seems to be able to explain. The police say they're doing what they can, but until someone finds the source of the booms, there isn't much anyone can do.
We've tried to have a presence of officers in those areas where this is occurring the most, trying to reassure people that we're doing everything we can. All of the city department heads are working together with outside resources, trying to find some answers.
The answers so far are hard to come by.
We have some weird thing going on, and our whole house is shaking.
It's been reported in that area. We don't know what it is at this time. That's all I can tell you.
Several theories have been ruled out, including an earthquake or problem with the water system. City and county leaders are working to pinpoint on a map where and when the booms are reported.
And that's going to help us with setting out some sensors and things like that. So we encourage people to call us. They're not bothering us. That's what we're here for.
The city is renting seismic sensor equipment in hopes of finding the epicenter of this booming phenomenon.
Nobody gets enough hugs a day, 'cause the minimum number is 4. Now if you haven't got 4 hugs today, then you better get some more.
A Richmond woman was ticketed by police after her 4-year-old daughter drew on a rock in Belle Isle with sidewalk chalk. Susan Mortensen got a ticket for destruction of public property on Sunday. She's also been banned from all city parks. The officer that wrote the ticket says sidewalk chalk doesn't always wash away in the rain, and often city crews have to clean it up. Mortensen says she doesn't know how this is different from drawing on the sidewalk.
Sidewalk is public property, and I guess these rocks are public property, and I assumed if she could use the sidewalk chalk on a public sidewalk that it would be okay on a public rock.
Essentially what we want people to do is leave behind only footprints, okay, when they come into the parks.
Our legal expert Steve Benjamin says she should not have received the ticket because destruction of property laws only apply when something is permanently damaged.
4 hugs a day, that's the minimum. 4 hugs a day, not the maximum. 4 hugs a day, that's the minimum. 4 hugs a day, not the maximum. 4 hugs a day.
Coca-Cola and Pepsi are making changes. It's so they don't have to label their products with a cancer warning. They're altering the recipe for the caramel colouring in the drinks so they contain less of a chemical called 4-MI. This has been linked to cancer in animals, but there's no evidence it affects humans. The change has already been introduced in California as the chemical has been added to its list of carcinogens. And it's due to be rolled out across the US, but there's no plans for the manufacturing process in Europe to change.
Step one, look them right in the eye. Step two, nose to nose. Step three, reach your arm. Step four, you can't do any harm.
police in action. Amateur video captures the moment officers raid the Toulouse home of the man suspected of a school shooting spree and killing three soldiers.
Chances are you or someone you know has gotten a speeding ticket. I know I have. But many times it's police officers who are breaking the speed limit and getting away with it. A new investigation in Florida found hundreds of cases of police officers driving more than 100 miles per hour, oftentimes just on their way to work. Mark Strassman reports on how one cop's reckless driving changed a young man's life forever.
Straighten out his hand there that I was doing.
Erskine Bell Jr. is bedbound, paralyzed, and brain dead after a horrific car accident. In 2008 near Orlando, he was riding in a Honda Civic stopped at a red light. A police officer suddenly lost control of his cruiser and rear-ended the Honda so hard it lurched forward 250 feet. The officer had been driving more than 100 miles per hour. Bell is 23 years old and will always need round-the-clock care.
For the longest, I was hoping that it was just a bad dream or one day that my son would just wake up out of it.
Mark Maupin, the speeding police officer, wasn't responding to an emergency call, didn't have on his lights or siren. He did have a record of on-the-job accidents, at least one of them involving speeding, according to Fort Lauderdale's Sun Sentinel. The paper's recent investigation of toll pass records also showed many Florida cops needlessly break speed laws they're supposed to enforce.
We knew we'd find speeding. We had no idea we'd find as much of it or the speeds that we did.
In 1 year, the newspaper found nearly 800 cops from a dozen Florida agencies drove between 90 and 130 miles per hour on state highways. Occasionally, they got caught, and sometimes caught on tape. In October, a Florida state trooper pulled over a Miami police officer going 120 miles per hour on his way to a moonlighting job. And back in December 2009, a Palm Beach sheriff's deputy led police on an 18-mile high-speed chase in an unmarked car.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car now!
Between 2004 and 2010, 230 accidents in Florida were caused by officer speeding. 21 people were killed or maimed. Seven of them were cops.
I do believe that this is an abuse that comes with a badge, and it is happening throughout the United States.
There is no national data on police speeding, but a 2011 Department of Transportation report shows nothing kills police more than car crashes, with a 44% increase in police crash deaths since 2000. Back in Florida, police who caused high-speed crashes seemed to get special treatment. Only 12% of them were ticketed, compared to 55% of other motorists involved in similar wrecks.
In the case of Mark Maupin, the police officer that ran into our son, I think the only consequences that has happened to him was he quit his job, and he has the right to go be a police officer anywhere else now. And I think that somehow is just not right.
Maupin was cited for lack of due care and not wearing his seatbelt. He paid court costs and lost his license for 90 days. Doctors say Bell will never fully recover.
The United States Marine is in serious hot water for an unlikely political battle with a self-proclaimed enemy. That's his word. the enemy happening to be the Commander-in-Chief of the United States. Lisa Sylvester is working this story for us. You got some details. It's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Wolf. A Marine sergeant is under investigation for posting negative things about the president. He has started a Tea Party Facebook page for members of the military and their families. Now, he says he's exercising his right to free speech, but the military has rules against members in uniform questioning their superiors, including the commander-in-chief. You don't have to guess where Marine Sergeant Gary Stein falls politically. This is front and center on a Facebook page of a group he started. Here's a sample of some of his postings. Obama is the domestic enemy our oath speaks about. Obama lies. And Obama remains the target. Obama is the ultimate political target. The White House is the ultimate political objective. Stein has been an active duty Marine for 8 years. He started the Armed Forces Tea Party Patriots Facebook page as an expression of free speech. But one posting in particular now has him in hot water. He originally said he wouldn't follow orders from President Obama, later modifying it to say he won't follow what he considers unlawful orders from the commander-in-chief. For example, if asked to take guns away from a U.S. citizen in case of a national emergency. We caught up by phone with Sergeant Stein, who says he's speaking as a civilian. He defends his outspoken views, saying they are protected by the Constitution.
That's my free speech. If I want to go against the president's policies and talk about those policies and how we can better America, I think a military that is strong in knowledge about the U.S. Constitution and what it means to them, when a member knows what they're fighting for and understands what they're fighting for, we fight harder.
But his Facebook site still has come under review by his superiors. He is now under investigation by the U.S. Marine Corps, which said in a statement to CNN, quote, "The Marine Corps strongly supports the First Amendment rights of Marines. However, it does not condone comments made against the President of the United States. DOD rules limit the political activities of active members and restrict what can be said about the President and the Secretary of Defense." David Glazier is a professor at Loyola Law School and a former Navy officer. He says the chain of command, including the President, is sacrosanct.
Military, at its core, military justice is all about the maintenance of good order and discipline, and to make sure that we have a professional force that will carry out the missions that the political leadership of the country assigns to it.
Now, online, there are some Facebook comments criticizing Sergeant Stein's activities. It's about 15% negative comments, but the majority are actually offering support.
Good afternoon. You know, in August last year, a large group of citizens came to my office from the Surprise Arizona Tea Party, met with me, asked if I would investigate the controversy surrounding President Obama's birth certificate and his ability to serve as the President of the United States. This group expressed displeasure that no law enforcement agency in the country has ever gone on record indicating that they had either looked into this situation or were willing to do so. I decided to utilize my cold case posse volunteers to investigate situation at no expense to the taxpayers. I repeat, no expense to the taxpayers. The cold case posse has received much criminal training and investigations from my office and agreed to take on the challenge. The posse reports directly to the office of the elected sheriff per the Arizona Constitution, consisting of former police officers, attorneys, who worked side by side for 6 months investigating this matter. I asked them to conduct the investigation with no preconceived ideas. Call it like it is. The critics will say that this investigation is politics. but let me clear that up on one point. I felt that this investigation could clear the President Obama's name and put people's mind at ease. It would be beneficial to our country as a whole and to the citizens of Maricopa County, Arizona, who came to me saying they felt their concerns were being ignored. The investigation focuses on the electronic file, which you'll see, that was presented as President Obama's long-form birth certificate to the American people and to citizens of Maricopa County by the White House in April of last year. The investigation then also led us to a closer examination of the President's Selected Service registration card. Upon close examination of the evidence, we are prepared today to say we believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed, not only in President Obama's long form birth certificate, but more disturbing evidence suggests that another fraud may have been committed regarding his Selected Service registration card. At the very least, I can tell you this. Based on all of the evidence presented and investigated, I cannot, in good faith, report to you that these documents are authentic. My investigators believe that the long-form birth certificate was manufactured electronically and that it did not originate in a paper format as claimed by the White House.
Now, Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant.
All right, we're traveling from Logan to Boise, and I just proposed a math question to my beautiful wife, Chelsea. And the question, very difficult to calculate, is if you are traveling 80 miles per hour, how long does it take you to go 80 miles? Okay, what do you think, Chel? Let's go through the process. What do you think?
Well, if I run the mile in about 9 minutes...
Wait, what about the tire turning thing you were talking about? You think that affects it?
Well, I'm just guesstimating probably about... It turns about 400 times in a mile.
That's just calculate, like guessing calculations?
Yeah, I don't know how you would work that out.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, so... I don't know, because if I run a mile in like 9 minutes, then... I mean, but that's when I'm out of shape. When I'm really in shape, at like 7 minutes is when I'm like really in shape. And that takes me a mile. And we're going 80 miles. I'm running in about probably 10 miles per hour, if that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fast for a human being, I think. But, I mean, it's got to take at least like 58 minutes or something.
58 minutes? It's pretty close.
To go 80 miles.
Do you want to know what the answer is?
What?
Think about 80 miles per hour. So how long does it take me to go 80 miles if I'm traveling 80 miles per hour?
You are driving faster than a minute a mile.
Yeah, totally.
So I would whack 80 in half, and that's 40. Because, I mean, you're probably going just 2 minutes a mile.
Just whack it in half.
Well, depends on, I mean, some cars' tires turn faster than others.
Yeah, definitely affects it.
Because, I mean, I think a truck probably is slower because it weighs more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also matters if your car's a stick or automatic.
Okay, Chal.
What?
Think about the term miles per hour.
MPH.
MPH. So if I say I'm driving 80 miles per hour, that means I'm going to go 80 miles in an hour.
No, you are not, because you are driving faster than a mile a minute. I can run 1 mile in 7 minutes, and that's a 10. Okay? So, I mean, that's booking it, too.
Okay, so if I'm going 60 miles per hour?
Then you're probably, it'll take about 30 minutes. I would just cut it right in half.
I'm trying to explain the answer, but...
Well, you are not making sense, because I make sense, you do not make sense. My car's tires may be a little, they're kind of a little flat, so they may not move as fast as like a police officer's tires that are full, but I just...
Okay, tell the
my
answer.
My tires are turning maybe, I'd say, about 400 times per mile.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the answer. You ready for
no,
the answer?
No, they got to be like 1,000.
You ready for the answer? The answer to...
You don't know the answer.
I do know the answer.
You can guesstimate just like I guesstimate.
I'm not guesstimating. I'm using math and science. I'm using my own term. Okay, Chell. The answer to the question, how long does it take me to travel 80 miles if I'm driving 80 miles per hour? The answer is 1 hour. Your guess
okay,
was close.
So say you drive 60 miles per hour at 60 miles.
For
you want to go 60 miles at 60 miles per hour. Is that an hour?
Yep.
What about 40 miles at 40 miles per hour?
Then you will go 40 miles
no,
in 1
no,
hour.
No, you cut that in half. You're going more than a mile a minute.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future.
You know what cracks me up? Whenever someone's like, dude, my church is like nothing you've ever seen before. And then goes on to describe any church you've ever been to. And you're standing there like, yeah, dude, yes, that's awesome, cool. Look, when it comes down to it, there's basically three types of churches. The traditional ones, the ones trying really hard not to be traditional, and then the mega churches that are too busy counting their tithes to care. So first you have the traditional churches, which are super legalistic and very judgmental. Democrats are not welcomed at these churches. I mean, who uses church hymn books anymore anyway? There's no flashy lights or worship leader to come and tell me if God's moving this morning. How am I supposed to know how to feel? It's confusing. And then there's the anti-traditional churches, which is composed of a bunch of people that are mad at their parents for taking them to the traditional church, so then they made their own church. This is the come as you are and never change crowd. Why stop sinning when he keeps forgiving? I got some freedom in Christ, baby! And then finally, the mega churches, with their coffee shops, gift shops, turned over tables. But even though there's three types of churches, they all have common traits. Like the pastors that always want everybody to stand up and say hello to everybody around them. And you're like, what's this filth? I don't want to talk to these people. I chose the big church for a reason. If those very brief moments before the worship music starts is the only time you talk to your neighbor, you're doing something wrong. And speaking of worship, is it weird to anybody else that they equate worshiping God with music? It's time to start worship, or let's worship God. Like, worship is something that you can just turn on and off like a switch. Worship to God isn't something that you go to. It's something you are. Scheduling worship time from 9 to 9:30 makes just as much sense as saying that you're going to make time for breathing. And what about those people that pray and they say Lord God or Father God every 2 seconds?
And that Father God, you'd also, Father God, bless us, Lord God, and that you would teach us, Father God, all of your Father God ways, Father God.
What? Why do you do that? Do you think that God forgets his name? Or are you just trying to keep his attention? How strange would it sound if we talked to each other that way?
So Jen, you'll never believe it, Jen. I was playing Halo, Jen, and I got 15 kills, Jen, in a row, and you know what that's called, Jen? It's called a perfection.
And another thing that annoys me is when churches think that people can only come to Jesus when soft music is playing in the background. Hey guys, we have an awesome service today with the relevant word. You know, I don't know what you came here expecting, but we're here to meet you on your journey. We're gonna get you guys to the next level. We're gonna raise up a new generation. We're gonna get you plugged in. No matter what season of life you find yourself in. What if this morning, what if we all got outside our comfort zones? What if we all stood and came up to the front? Come on, everybody, come on. And for all of our viewers watching at home, come on closer to the computer screen. Come on. Clap your hands. Come on. Can I get a hallelujah? Come on. Come on, amen. Can you imagine if Jesus needed the same affirmation that these church leaders need? So guys, that Sermon on the Mount I just gave here a minute ago. Pretty great, huh? Come on, put your hands together. Anything. I'm Jesus. Can I even get an amen? Nothing? You guys are killing me.
Give me a second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget, but between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home.
Firebombs and flares explode inside Athens Olympic Stadium. The Greek football match between Panathinaikos and Olympiakos was eventually abandoned due to clashes between police and fans. The tension started before the game when hundreds of young people without tickets tried to enter the stadium and continued throughout, forcing the second half to start 35 minutes late, and then led to the game being called off 8 minutes before the final whistle. Police say 57 people were detained, a further 20 arrested. 9 officers were injured, 2 seriously.
No, I know that I'm not all that you got. I guess that I just thought maybe we could find new ways to fall apart. But our friends are back, so let's raise a towel. Cause I found someone to carry me home tonight. We are young, so let's set the world on fire. We can burn brighter than the sun tonight.
He may only be 8 years old, but Adi Ilam from Sukabumi in Indonesia is well and truly hooked. The youngster smokes 25 cigarettes a day in a country where there's no age limit for buyers. Coffee-drinking Adi doesn't go to school because he's been banned from smoking. His parents are too scared to try and stop him.
I have to let him smoke, otherwise he will get mad. He smashed the windows 5 times because I told him he could not smoke. He doesn't go to school because he cannot smoke in school. Without school, we have to spend 20,000 rupiah for cigarettes each day.
Counting, counting. the bar closes and you feel like falling down. I'll carry you home tonight.
Apaches are a powerful weapon for NATO forces, described by some as flying tanks. But a video that emerged a few days ago appears to show they're not invulnerable. The video appears to show an Apache swooping over a mountain outpost in Paktika province, Afghanistan. The aircraft then begins to climb before descending into the snow, as if the pilots lost control. The helicopter then spins and flips before finally coming to a stop. According to reports, no one on the ground was hurt, and the Apache crew also survived the crash.
The purity of war is ruined by one bad apple in Afghanistan. Ray-Ban is a little unsure the public can pull off its 2012 series of sunglasses. And a report shows the closing of state aviary facilities has put hundreds of mentally ill birds on the streets. Keep moving and don't look back. It's too late for me now. This is the Onion Week in Review. According to sources, all 6.5 million residents of Indiana spontaneously formed thousands of perfectly uniform rows throughout the state Monday morning and established a collective consciousness. Saying, "We are Indiana," the new hive mind talked and moved in unison, with citizens working together to build a massive geometric superstructure in downtown Indianapolis where they would gather to sleep, breed, and feed.
All horns for Indiana. All horns.
The collective state went on to report that soon Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, and Canada would all become Indiana. Persons close to Phoenix area friends Jake Welter and Mike Cephalon confirmed Friday that the two men are absolutely incapable of greeting each other like normal human beings.
Beep, 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 beep.
Sources say the two full-grown men simply cannot walk into a room and shake each other's hands, relying instead on elaborate dances, forced pop culture references, and extended fake fighting. Neither Welter nor Cephalon was available for comment as they were busy pretending to rip each other's faces off. Sources are confirming your dog died earlier today, and we're all really sorry you had to find out about it like this, buddy. Though it's a lousy thing to have to learn from an online web video, and even strange to hear from a cold, hardened newsman's voice that you can't put a face to, your pet passed away in his sleep while you went out today, and we understand how shocked you must be right now.
This is slightly outside of my purview, and it's probably not even my place to say, but yes, your dog did pass away. Once again, really sorry that you had to find out about it like this.
Sources added that there are many local shelters with animals in need of a good home, though we understand that no dog can ever truly replace the one you just lost. I lost a dog once, but my mom was the one who told me about it, and she was quite the comfort. In this week's op-ed pages, Pantene CEO Marcus Russo laments feeling like the only one who gives a shit about rich, lustrous hair. In other news, a study finds that newborn infants can tell if their parents are losers. A man who just assembled a desk is unsure how he has every screw left over. And Jeff Beck is lured into a dark alley with the old guitar pick on a string trick. There is no more news to review. There is only Indiana.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are two ways of going through life. One is to go with the tide, the other is against the tide. There is the way of walking away, and a way of aggressive resistance. There is the way of a swaying palm tree, and the way of a solid oak. There is a way of voluntary cooperation, and a way of forced servitude. There is a way of moving on, and a way of forcing something that is not there. There is a way of knowing everything happens for a reason, and a way of vengeance. There is a way of grace, and a way of competition.
In the past 3 weeks, he's the one boy who is finding the warm spot in the heart of competition.
And did you make a touchdown?
Yeah.
It kicked off 3 weeks ago with Berkeley High School. In an unusual pass, the coach wanted the other team to score as long as Chip Mullen was holding the ball.
What did the referee do?
Touchdown.
Some would not find value of this man in our competitive world. Others would see that humanity needs to find the grace in his world. When not interfered from outside influences, everything in nature is done with perfection and in balance. Some will see this as God's benevolent hand touching everything we do. Others will see this as simply the way things are. You can either accept things as they are, or push things to extreme, forcing change upon your world. We see this as empires spread to dominate the natural world. We see this as growing nations build the largest buildings that defy gravity and are designed to scrape the sky. We see this as societies push politics and economics to the extreme. Ozymandias. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well made those passions read, which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things. The hand that mocked them and the heart that fed, on the pedestal those words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look upon my works, ye mighty in despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." We laugh at the towers of Babel people created and worshipped, and yet remain blind to the towers we construct and worship in our own lives. It seems that humanity is driven for some reason to do things that defy nature of balance and peace. We spend so much time, effort, and money on things that have no permanent value, and worse, things that do not bring us any joy or happiness along the way. The Egyptians used tremendous amount of blood to build pyramids on the backs of slaves. The Romans built the world's largest empire, only to rot from the excesses it brought. Even today, the American Empire, the largest and most powerful empire the world has ever seen, rots and will eventually collapse. And for what? All hail Americanandius, the empire of empires with full spectrum dominance. Oh, how the world shudders at how mighty it is, and the cries of despair for the fear of its wrath. What will future generations feel about us when the American Empire collapses and fades from the natural world? We build machines, organizations, and societies that divide and conquer the natural world, instead of seeing that all of life is connected and meant to work together. This is the real reason why things fail. They fail because they are not natural. They lack the why. They lack fundamental purpose. Without a deeper connection and cooperation like that of a thriving ecosystem, all organizations and efforts will ultimately fail. Think about the amazing forces that must work together to support life on Earth. We are a perfect distance of 93 million miles away from a sun that burns at 10,000 degrees. We move 67,000 miles an hour, and our atmosphere protects us from the outer space, as we live in a thin layer of oxygen that is created by a carefully balanced ecosystem, and that even our immune system prevents us from dying. Knowing that this interconnection and cooperation is vital to our existence, why do we insist on building a paradigm that seems to divide and conquer? You cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. You must see the world anew. Albert Einstein. Some would say that it is human nature to build things to the extreme, only to fall to earth like Icarus. It is wonderful that we possess the imagination, the skill, and the drive to do great feats. We seem to focus on the how and not the why we should do things. Why is it that so much capital and innovation goes into things that destroy the human experience? We spend trillions on weapons to enrich some and dominate others. We spend billions on gadgets to numb us to the natural world and the connections with others. Why? Qui bono? Who does this benefit? There are only two kinds of people in this world, those that want to be left alone and those that just won't leave you alone. There are those that live by grace and those that seek to dominate. Those that won't leave you alone are hurt people from this competitive world, and they have become like their abusers to take an eye for an eye. They seek to pleasure themselves, but also for others to please them too. They seek adoration, as they cannot find it in themselves. They seek to be loved, because they cannot love themselves. They force relationships based on money and manipulation, because that is all they know. They seek to dominate others, because they know that they cannot hold on to others any other way. They do not know of grace and love, so they seek to destroy that which they don't understand. Destruction is far easier for them than looking at themselves and changing, or addressing a past hurt. When you look at the social predators that sit at the top of the centralized organizations that create, perpetuate, and profit off this unnatural paradigm, it is no wonder we are in a world surrounded by debt and death. Does the hubris and arrogance of these social predators represent the majority of humanity that simply wants to live in peace? No. Why hasn't humanity ever focused all of its wonderful talents and abilities to create a paradigm that is in balance and resonates with something inside of us? Instead of spending trillions of dollars trying to dominate the world for more oil, what about spending that money and living in a renewable balance? Instead of spending more money than we have, what about living within our means? Instead of acting like competitive animals, what about embracing the grace that sets us apart from the animal world? Instead of thinking you can control your world, what about just enjoying the ride? Couldn't all this amazing technical skills and capital be better spent on things that would seek to create a more balanced way of life? What would humanity look like if we did not focus on pushing things to the extreme and focused all of our actions on things that are more natural, like a sustainable way of life? What would humanity be like if we stopped trying to change everybody else and worked on ourselves? What would humanity be like if we divided power so that no social predator could convince good people to do bad things? What would humanity be like if we walked away from things that did not resonate with us? What would the world be like if we all went along with the tide of nature instead of constantly fighting it? Things pushed to the extreme ultimately fail. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. The law of thermodynamics, mathematical inevitability, reversion to the mean, falling back to earth, divine retribution, coincidence, karma, fate. When will we have the wisdom to see that we cannot change the outside world to make ourselves happy or free? When will we have the courage to change ourselves to make the world happy and free? Only then will the world become a lot less scary and more possibilities open as you come to the acceptance stage of a new paradigm. With the mathematically inevitable collapse of this unnatural paradigm, we have the unique opportunity to use our technical knowledge and advanced communication to build a paradigm that is sustainable and of meaning. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. What path are you on?
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people play cornhole in the park. Seems like a good place to toss a bag around. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the conspiracy theorist is about. Let's take the case of Ronald Farber. Ronald played cornhole all afternoon, and he didn't feel like throwing bags alone, so he decided to ask another boy. He'd done it 100 times before. He didn't think anything was unusual when the boy struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Ronald didn't know was that Ralph was sick. A sickness that was not visible, like swine flu, but no less dangerous and contagious. A sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a conspiracy theorist, a paranoid person with a desperate need to feel they have a special knowledge that somehow sets them apart from the masses. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful. If they are too open-minded, if they question the official versions of the facts, and if they don't trust the United States government. One never knows when the conspiracy theorist is about. He may appear normal.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.